Hello, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And we are here on Monday, April 29th for podcast episode 110. Super excited. Love those round numbers at the end. Yes. And this is a listener questions episode. We're excited about this. We only get to do these a few times a year, so we really look forward to them. I'm just going to mention our shirts really quickly before I turn it over to Chelsea for her quilts, but we are wearing Moda Blockheads 5 shirts. You can buy your own. We will have a link. Actually, Kate Spain, it's Kate Spain's website where you buy them from. She's a Moda designer. And I don't know what I was doing. I went to order a shirt and I accidentally ordered 2 really similar in color. And so I told Chelsea, I guess one is yours and let's wear them on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I did think, I was like, why didn't you buy like a blue and then like a pink? But I benefited from this.
Yes. So. And you're going to have a Moda Blockheads 5 block coming up.
Mine is coming up this summer. I believe like July-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
So towards the end
you'll
of our
You'll see me soon.
Yeah. We're about halfway
through
right now. So there are still lots of blocks to come. So Chelsea's will be coming.
I'm very excited about my block. I did feel like I designed it forever ago, so I am really excited for everyone to see it.
Awesome. Okay, tell us about the quilts.
Okay, so I am very excited. Last week I was excited to share Lazy Daisy, but it's just so rewarding having my quilts finally done. And this one on the wall is one I am super excited about. This is Mix and Match, and it is Honey Bun and Layer Cake Friendly. And I really wanted to design something that felt really, really scrappy and really fun. It's one of my favorites. So cute. Marion Bott did the quilting on this. And I just love the different star centers. And you know how much I love log cabin blocks. And then I also have the large floral border in the teal color. I just love this one. I love how scrappy it feels. And this would actually be a great quilt that you could mix multiple of our collections with as well.
Yeah, I feel like you could get a layer cake from one collection and a honey bun from another collection and really mix it up.
Yeah. And while I was picking a quilt to go on the table for today, I wanted to go with kind of that scrappy feel. So on the table is Friendly Blooms, and I haven't showed this one in a while. I designed it using our Simply Delightful collection, and Marion Bott also did the All Over Panto on this one. But I have recolored it in Strawberry Lemonade.
Oh.
And so Billy will pop up a picture of that. And I just think it was time to give this one a refresh. It's so cute. Simply Delightful was just a really a different vibe color-wise. So it's fun seeing it in a different collection as well. So it kind of gives scrappy too, just the way with all the patchwork. And so that's why I picked it for on the table today. I believe this one is Fat Eighth Friendly. That might be different. I'm pretty sure it's Fat Eighth Friendly.
This would be super cute in Strawberry Lemonade because there's so many greens that you could do different stems and leaves. And then so many options for the flowers.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just have to do the reds and the pinks. You could do
multiple colors for the flowers as well. So Mix and Match on the wall and Friendly Blooms on the table. And remember that Mix and Match is with our Laguna Sunrise collection, and I love it so much. You can find the information and the pattern in the description of this YouTube video.
Also, I wanted to just mention really quickly before we move on, I finally have the 2023 Block of the Month pattern in the shop. Finally. People have been asking me for, you know, I keep those free for a year and then I take them out, and I have been getting lots of requests lately, and so I finally have that in the shop to purchase from last year if you missed out on that.
Yeah.
And be sure to join this year's Block of the Month, which is currently free. Okay.
Okay, so before we get into the listener questions today, we have a couple listener quilts to share as well. And this first one here, it's from Potluck Is Yours, right, Mom?
Yes.
Okay. This is from Diane. She says, "Hi, Sherry and Chelsea. I was so inspired by your potluck pattern. You did it in Christmas fabrics. I chose to add more blocks, Dresden plates, and a few borders so mine would fit in a king-size bed.
Ooh.
My family said this is a masterpiece quilt. Thank you for making such a great and inspiring pattern.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my goodness.
A potluck. I love that pattern too. I've made it multiple times.
Yeah. And she shows an up close picture of the borders, how she added like an extra line of border,
right?
I believe on it to make it bigger. Yeah. So yeah. And that actually relates to one of the questions that we have.
I just thought of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've made that quilt 3 times, the original and then the Christmas version. And then I made it again in our Emma collection, but I've never made it bigger. So we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that she made it bigger because adding more Dresden, that's what draws your attention in on that quilt when you have those Dresdens, and having more is just awesome.
Right.
Okay. So this one here, this relates also to an episode we did a couple episodes ago where, you know, introducing quilting to your new friends or to other people, making new friends. So this is from Sabrina. She said, "Hi, thank you for your podcasts, wonderful fabric designs and patterns. I was a lonely quilter, so I got proactive to finding some quilting buddies. Through the Nextdoor app and our Only Quilt store, I left my number to anyone who wanted to help with quilting or learn how to. From that, we now have 6 friends. 2 are winter visitors from Canada who met me on Tuesday nights. We are now in our 3rd year as a group. One of our Canadian quilters got breast cancer, and while she is away being treated, we made this quilt for her using your garden path pattern. 4 of us made 5 blocks each. We added inspiring words in the block centers to show her how inspiring she is to us. We pieced the back using leftover fabric pieces. We made a breast cancer ribbon block and signed it. When we shared what we were doing at the local quilt shop, picking out our fabric, the employee who does long arm offered to quilt it for free. The quilt will be delivered in the next few weeks by our other Canadian quilter. She is going to do a videotape of her open, or she's going to video her opening it up, hoping it cheers her up."
Well, I love that.
I love that too. That,
and just also being proactive for starting your quilting group. That would be super hard for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, she just pretty much, "Hey, I'm out here. Yeah. I want to quilt." And
here I am.
And it worked. It happened. Other people said,
I've heard of that app before. So how resourceful that was to use that.
What is it again? It's Nextdoor. Yeah, Nextdoor app. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What a great idea. I've been wanting to start a book club, and I don't know. It's just giving me anxiety to just reach out to people just to even.
There's a book club right next door to me.
I just want to start my own. I want it to be nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
Yes.
I'm not joining.
Okay. See, maybe I won't be able to find anybody, but there's so many nonfiction books that are good.
But you could. No, the book club next door to me, they do read nonfiction books as well. I'm going to talk to my friend.
Maybe I should expand before I invite anybody and say 6 nonfiction a year and 6 fiction.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'll get more.
You can.
I'm afraid nobody will want to join.
Nobody's going to sign up for your book club.
Nobody wants to be
in my book
club. You
can do it on your Patreon. Online, Sherry's book club.
No, but I want to like do it at my house and make little hors d'oeuvres.
Do it like
appetizers.
Local.
Yes.
Yeah. In person.
Chelsea's laughing at me.
Because I'm picturing Dad like dressed up and serving the
Okay, if you're my local friend, will you reach out to me if you want to be in my book club?
Dad would make the best hors d'oeuvres.
You're saying Dad dressed like a butler.
Like a butler.
A butler.
Remember those people in our neighborhood that had the fake butler? And when they went out of town and you and Sean would take care of their animals,
yes!
It was really scary because there was so a statue scary. Of a butler in their house.
Oh, my goodness. What was the pig's name?
Oh, that was a different neighbor. Oh. That was in our first neighborhood, but you guys babysat the pig.
Yeah.
And you guys were afraid of the pig.
The potbelly pig. Like, yes. We were terrified. We were terrified.
Yes.
You're not cutting this. Okay, he's looking at me like he's going to cut this.
No, I remember that pig.
Billy probably fed Opal. The pig too. Opal!
Opal! Yep.
You remember.
Yes, I think Billy probably took care of Opal too.
Yeah, I like that
but
pig.
But you knew you had to feed Opal when she wasn't looking and then you booked it out of there.
Yes. I was never scared of that pit.
Yeah, it but we were the, little.
Yeah,
the neighbors. I think neighbors, Chelsea and Sean were afraid of Opal.
Yeah, I was like in high school by the time you guys left, but yeah.
This is my favorite podcast.
The pig was like a dog. It was just, it was their pet. It would go inside.
Yeah.
And everything. So
it did.
Yeah.
I wonder whatever happened. I'm going to have to reach out to.
Yeah, you should talk to Larie.
Larie and ask whatever happened to Opal.
Well, I'm sure it just passed away of old age or same as like a dog.
Or maybe she's still alive. Who knows?
No, they don't live that long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how long potbelly pigs last.
No. I don't believe so. Oh my goodness. That's funny.
This is my favorite podcast.
Okay.
Already, we're not even that far into it.
Okay.
I just had one question though. Is your garden path pattern like
it's in the
I can't remember
Labor of Love book.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's in a book. Yes. Okay. I was wondering. I was like, I couldn't remember where that was from.
Yes.
Okay, so in Labor of Love. Okay, so thank you again for those quilts. Awesome job. Thank you for sharing them. And yeah, so now we'll jump into the listener questions portion of this episode, and we have plenty. Thank you everyone for sharing them or sending them in. We're not going to get to every one that I received up through the beginning of April, I don't believe, because we have a lot. So
yeah,
some of them I saved and we'll probably answer them as like separate topics in future episodes as well. I picked ones that I'm like, I think we can sort of expand on some of these as well. So thank you for those. Just, you know, not telling anyone to stop sending them, because we anything we get, we can use.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great idea that you saved them for, you know, episode topics.
Yeah.
Some of them. Yeah.
Because some of them are great episode topics.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm going to start. There's one that was more directed to me. I'll start with that. It's actually number two on the outline, but I'll do this one first. So, shoot, I didn't write her name down. I'm going to respond to her individually as well after this as well, though. She said, Billy, could you walk us through the steps to make a personal playlist of your YouTube videos? You mentioned this on the February 26th episode. This technology challenge 68-year-old would appreciate it. Looking forward to watching more of A Quilting Life. So I found a video that goes through and shows you how to make a playlist on YouTube. If you do want to go through some of our videos and make your own playlist or add some other quilt videos to that playlist. He does a better job than I could probably do of showing that. So that will be linked in the description. And like I said, I'm going to respond to her and let her know, give her that link to that as well. So he just goes step by step of how to make your own playlist on YouTube. But if anyone else is interested, it will be in the description. I watched it. I approve of his video of how to make your own playlist. So that will be available for everyone.
Ooh, I want to watch that too. So I feel like that would be helpful to me if I'm traveling or something. I could set up a playlist before and have stuff to watch.
Yeah. And like within the first half of this, it's only like a 3-minute video. It gets right to the point.
Perfect.
Within the first half of it is everything you would need to know to really just make a playlist. Then the second half of the video is more things you can do if you really want to. But honestly, within the first minute and a half of this video, you learn how to make a playlist. It's pretty awesome. Simple.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I wanted to answer that one first. Thank you for asking, because I'm sure other people had that same question. Okay. So the first one for you guys today is from Nikki. She says, and she actually shared a quilt, listener quilt, a while back. She was one of the first people that emailed in, but I saved this question because she had it as well. So she said, I quilt most of my quilts, and when I trim them afterwards, they are usually out of square. Does this happen when you get them long-armed? If so, how do you trim it? Do you follow the border and make that even and not worry about it being truly square, or do you square the corners and have the borders look off? This issue bothers me every time I trim quilts, since I don't know which way is correct.
Okay, so first I have to say that when a lot of times when Marion does our quilts, she will trim them for us.
Yeah.
I can tell she probably did this, right, for you?
And Lazy Daisy.
And Lazy Daisy.
She does it on all of ours. She trims them.
I love
it. They're slightly off.
Yes, yeah. I love it when she does it. She has this, and the reason that she doesn't do it sometimes is if the weather's bad, because she has this big table out on her back patio that she's able to really get the whole quilt out there. And she takes her long rulers and she puts them in the corners so that the corner is square and she can extend it on the side so that it's not noticeable if there's anything. And so I believe she just flips it and does that for all four corners.
Yeah.
And that's what I do too. I usually don't ever notice the borders looking off.
No.
If my corners are square and that makes my binding go on perfectly in the corners, I haven't really noticed that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they do. When you take your quilt to a long armor, they do stretch your backing and stretch your quilt. And sometimes they can be slightly out of square and they do need to be squared up before you
squared
put your binding on. Yeah.
Well, and like she said, she does it herself. So that's why she's like, I need to trim it myself too.
Yeah. And just the biggest place where you can lay your quilt flat and get the most of it on a table at the time. And it's helpful if you have two long rulers. In the past, before I did it with one long ruler and the biggest square I had, whatever you have to cover the most amount of space and get the most amount of your quilt squared up.
Yeah.
Okay. So this next one here, I have a question that came to me after hearing Chelsea mention how she decides her backing fabric. She said if the quilt was modern, she would choose a low volume, and if it was traditional, she would go with a floral. As a fairly new quilter, what would be considered a traditional quilt versus a modern quilt? I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but she's new, so we want to answer that as well. And she says, I think I know, but would love to hear and see what the ladies have to share. Keep up with this awesome channel. Learning so much here from all the videos you create. And that's from Kathy.
So where you're going to find the differences versus traditional and modern is, traditional is really just traditional quilt blocks. And modern, you're going to see like totally different lines in that. Everything's going to look really, it's not going to be a traditional.
It's not like uniform, right?
Yeah, it's not. It's
generally not a uniform straight set layout. Different angles, different placements.
Angles, placements, shape is huge for modern quilts. And
I feel like bold use of color.
Yes,
is
bold
another.
Use of color, especially like solids. Like you see a lot of modern quilters use solids. But really when I'm talking about traditional quilts, like I'm looking at grandmother's flower garden. And that to me is a traditional quilt. Even this quilt on the wall, though it looks modern because of the fabrics, the block is still a traditional block.
Right.
It's a log cabin with stars in it.
Right.
That's still traditional to me.
And it
me.
Has a traditional setting too.
Yep.
So I feel like sometimes with those modern quilts, probably the reason you said that was there is so much white space often that you don't want your backing fabric showing through. And that's probably why you said low volume for a more modern. I'm guessing.
No, that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Or I have just a basic print and not something florally. If I have something like the quilt on the table, for example, I would absolutely choose a floral backing for this.
Right.
Because it's patchwork and flowers. And that's kind of how I differentiate between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that answered it well enough. I feel like that was a really, really good question because it is kind of vague. Like, a traditional quilt versus a modern quilt. And even on social media, if you look through different, you know, a modern quilter quilts versus traditional quilts. I mean, but honestly, you can use whatever you want.
Yeah.
Can't. You could do a floral for a modern. I've seen that as well, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. And some people choose a backing fabric and they do polka dots for the whole year, or they do flannel for the whole year, or minky for the whole year. So your choices are really
It's honestly whatever you are vibing with and feeling.
Okay, so attached with that question, we did have a listener ask what low volume prints are. And so since you just talked about them, if you want to define those again, I know we've talked about that one before as well.
And this is a perfect time
Mom, the quilt on the wall is the perfect example of low volumes. So you'll notice on the log cabin blocks, on the bottom half of the log cabin is the prints from the, like with the colors and all of that. But the top I used for those log cabin strips, I used all of the low volumes in the collection. So if you can kind of see in the image on the video, that's what we're talking about. It has the Bella 200 background, but it's not a solid color on the back. And now I will say some low volumes like the stripe up here, they can kind of play as a solid because it's a lot of color. It's very tight knit together.
And also that floral right there at the top of the block next to it. I feel like that almost reads
as a color,
as a more bold print, even though it is technically meets the definition of a low volume, small prints on a light background. That's pretty bold when you look at it in some of the blocks. So,
but this quilt gives you the contrast. Yes. You have all of these print color fabrics versus the low volumes.
Yeah.
So this was kind of perfect that we got to answer this today. Yeah.
And some low volume are even lighter. I'm just looking at the quilt on the table. Yeah. Some of these are this is a low volume. I know you can't see, but I could actually send Billy a JPEG image of that print and he could pop it up on the screen. But this is so light that you almost don't see any color. Yeah. And that translates as a low volume as well.
That's when we say it gives a little texture.
Yes.
That's what we mean when we say that. Like it's not a very visible print, but it adds something.
Yeah.
All right. This next one here, I believe this has something to do with quilt kits that you send out. She asked, do you add extra fabric for those of us who starch? Just wondering before I start on a strawberry lemonade quilt kit. Oh, and she did say that. So she said, I absolutely love your fabrics and tutorials. And that brought a question up to me is if people starch all their fabric, does it shrink that much to where they would need extra fabric?
Our patterns are generally written with extra fabric built in. So it's not going to matter at all. And those kits also, if you got a kit from either Chelsea or from me, and followed those cutting instructions, there was, I think, an extra half inch or something, which the starching shouldn't make it shrink a half inch. So I think that it's fine. And I think all of our patterns are written with that leeway that you can starch. And when they're not, I think we usually put a note in there, you know, note the cutting diagram. And you could always, if you are, say, working on a fat eighth bundle and we've noted in our pattern that there's a diagram to follow, that usually means the cutting is a little bit closer. You could make a test block with another fat eighth to make sure that when you starch.
Well, that's a smart idea.
Yeah,
beforehand.
Everyone's technique is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely, you could cut out a test block of your own fat eighth and make sure that would work. But generally, I would say 9 times out of 10, our patterns have that extra fabric built in.
Next one here. Love this podcast so much. I have a question for the next listener question episode. You have mentioned in the past that some designers will share coordinating solids so you know what will work with their collection. I don't know if this is only for Moda designers, but can you tell me where that information is usually shared? I've looked on Instagram, but have not found information for some collections. I have some collections that I have fabric from. Thanks so much for such an entertaining and informative podcast. And that's from Make.
I thought this was great because she specifically asked about Vanessa, Lello Boutique. And Vanessa is one that does a fantastic job of putting her Bella Solids on her blog.
She is the queen of it.
Yes.
She gets it down. That's like one of her very first posts.
Right.
Hey, I know you're all waiting. Here's the coordinating solids.
Yes.
She does a really, really great job of that. She shares pictures on Instagram. That's something, I mean, we could probably do better at.
I actually have it on my blog.
Yeah, you do it on your blog.
I have not updated for Laguna Sunrise, but I have every collection through Laguna Sunrise, all the Bella solids.
Yeah.
So, and Vanessa does great too. I know there are other designers that I've seen. I think Corey does it. I think Corey puts it on her blog too. Love my Instagram, but that is the great thing about a blog is having a permanent place that's easy searchable to find for things like that.
Well, but there's so much more information you can share about it with your blog.
Yeah. So, and then also you can also go to the Moda inspiration and resources page and click on designers. And when you click on a designer's name and you scroll down, all their Moda fabric collections are listed and you can actually look at JPEGs, and the more recent collections, I feel like, include the Bellas.
Yeah.
They didn't do it from the beginning, but lately they've been doing really, really well at that and putting them in the catalog pages that are also accessible online.
Yeah, they have the Bella numbers on there and everything.
A couple of different ways you can find that.
This next one here, I'm going to summarize a couple things from it. She was talking about your Flowers for Emma quilt pattern. Wait, that's behind me, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and that's an older one.
Yes.
As well. Okay. So she asked what kind of thread you use when hand binding. And well, let's start with that.
Yeah. I just use the same thread, the 50 weight Aurifil for all my binding. I do try to match the color of the binding, but same
I
weight.
Match, yeah.
Because she asking about that because that is appliqué?
Yes. And okay. The same thing. For appliqué on something like that, I'm sure I just used regular 50 weight Aurifil.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She said a lot of nice things about us as well. This is from Pamela. Thank you for watching and enjoying everything. She likes everyone's unique characteristics. I'll just
say thank you, Pamela. I have talked to Pamela.
Yeah, she says Chelsea's genuine honesty, her laughter, and she looks forward to the podcast every other week. I wish this was a weekly podcast. But then things wouldn't get done. And she said also, P.S., maybe Bill will show up someday.
Bill, Dad. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Also, Pamela also asked about making this into a large queen or king. And I have seen people do that. People have sent me pictures. And basically what they do is they just make more grandmother's flower garden blocks. And they make the rows longer.
And
make more rows. And that's all they do.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot to add that.
That's okay. You could add borders. And I've seen people not do the scallop border. They've done just square borders to make that a little bit easier. But yeah, just more flowers and more rows. So
it's definitely a lot more work. I was just really intrigued that she added that because I honestly wish I had the stamina to make a king size quilt of that for my bed because it's so pretty.
Yeah.
So I love that she...
I mean, that would take a long time because of all the hand clay, right?
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I might have to do it someday. I have many things I want to do.
Little time.
Have you ever done another border? Like you said, this is a scalloped border.
Yeah, that's the only quilt that I did that on. We should actually film a video on that, Billy.
Oh, okay.
Time for another scalloped border.
I didn't even...
Time for another scalloped border.
Until you just said that, I was like, wait, that is different.
It's really so cute.
Yeah, and actually when I was making that, because this was in a magazine, and I had never done a scalloped border, and Val was going to quilt it, and I already knew she was going to quilt it. And so I remember calling her and saying, hey, do you have any tips for me? Because I'm going to bring you this quilt, and it's going to have a scallop border, and there were a couple things she wanted me to do that would help her out with the quilting.
Yeah. And oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I did use a quilt in a day scallop border ruler on that. We can link that in the description below too.
Oh, I was going to ask that. Like, how did you get it? It has the perfect.
Yeah. So we can link that. It was super easy to use and we'll have to film a video on that too, Billy.
Okay, here's a quick one, Mom, and it's on the table today, so that's good.
Oh.
She said, Sherry mentioned she drinks from another cup that is not the Stanley brand. Is it?
Yes, this is my hydro jug. And just to clarify, the reason I do it is because you can fold the straw down in so it's more, I don't know.
Well, it's not open. The straw is
not open.
Yeah. And it's a particle.
I found out about it because of... youngest son's fiance is a nurse and her hospital had to switch to this
required them to switch it.
Yes, OSHA required them. They were not allowed to have the Stanley cups with the straw sticking out. And I actually feel more comfortable with this when I go out in public. If I'm at a basketball game or something, my straw's not sticking out.
Yeah, and getting weird air particles in it. So my husband, I don't know why I'm stuck on that. My husband was like, you should reach out to them and get sponsored on the podcast because he notices that your cup is always in it.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you guys got to get on that and like start repping the drink cups.
Yeah. The sticker is our sticker that we did for our strawberry lemonade project packages. Yeah. So I did put the sticker on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so hydro jug.
Hydro jug.
Hydro jug.
And they have a lot of good colors.
Yeah, a lot of great colors.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's from Anita. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
All right. So the next one, we sort of talked about this again a couple episodes ago, but I think this listener brought up some good points as well. This is from Linda. So she said, hello, one of the topics I'd like to hear discussed is work versus pleasure sewing. Quilting is my rest, my relaxation, my creative outlet. When I've sewn for work / income, I feel extreme pressure because of the requirements of sewing for others. These include time, deadlines, and quality, you know, expertly produced quilts. Listening to the two of you talk about making quilts for a pattern or book and producing quilts for show displays of your new collection sounds like work, making you sew because you must. So when you own your own business of selling patterns and fabric lines, do you get weary of deadlines and the lack of time to make something just because you feel like it? And then she says, I realize this question is coming as a retired person getting to fulfill my retirement dreams of quilting, what I want, when I want, and how I want. She said, so your job sounds hard to me. Thank you for your upbeat podcasts and all of your videos and blogs about quilting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And do you want to go first or?
I wanted to say something really quick and then.
Okay.
And then you go and then I'll go.
Okay.
Really quick. The thing, it sounds hard. I love my job, but I do think that it entails a lot more work than most people realize.
Yeah.
It's not hard because I love it and I want to do it. And I have some tips and things that I do to keep it fresh, but I'll let you let go.
No, I love that you said that outright. I think that's so important to note. And I love that this question was asked because I do have to say we get fabric in ample time. It's gotten, we have pretty good
much
time.
Better.
Much better. Yeah. Yes. It used to be much closer to like the deadline. And that was even, I don't know how you did it.
That was a little bit more stressful.
Oh, so much more stressful. And it started changing once I started coming out with quilt patterns. So yeah. I didn't really feel as much stress as you did, but I will say this. I hate being told when I have to quilt something. And my quilter, Marion, we are like the same person. And I just dropped off one of my mom's quilts to her and picked up two of mine. And we both said the same thing. I'm just like, yeah, sometimes I just get up and go sit on the couch because, or like I'll reward myself. I just finished all these blocks. I'm going to go have a Snickers bar. You know, it is a lot of stress to have the deadline and you have to do it. But just like my mom said, I still love quilting.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that added. And yeah. And with me, like, I do have kids and my kids have sports and that has to come first. And so that for me right now is the biggest thing, balance. I have kids in different schools now. It's a balance.
And I, you know, sometimes life just intervenes. Mm-hmm. I did notice with this last catalog, Camille Ross Kelly was in the catalog with us with her new, is it called
Rosemary's Cottage.
Okay. Yeah. And I noticed Camille just came right out and said, hey, life has kind of gotten in the way. I'm still, I've got two quilts done on our kind of social media share date.
Yeah.
I've got two quilts done, but I'm sewing some others as I go. And she posted in progress blocks. And you did the same thing.
I did the same thing.
The quilt that we shared on our last podcast on the wall.
Yeah.
The flower one. You posted the blocks while you were making those.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's real life and that's okay. And, you know, the quilts are going to be done in well before when the fabric ships.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it was kind of refreshing to see everything's not always perfect. Sometimes we're still working on a deadline.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit past the deadline, and so.
I was super appreciative, actually, that was Camille's experience this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like actually sewing a little bit during the promotion of it because then people, it's like real time. It's, oh, she's sewing with this right now. It's not quilt, new quilt, quilt, which
right.
is good.
Right.
I like that I have my mom because we have the balance of both. My mom had all of her quilts done, yet I'm still working on progress while the fabric is still being sold.
Yes.
It's real life and that's what's real and life happens.
Yeah. I did have just a couple other thoughts about what she said. Something that I do to kind of, I feel like, keep it fresh for me is that I do like to occasionally sew other people's patterns. Sometimes I'll sew something of Chelsea's, and it's super fun just to take her pattern and just not have to think, not be doing the math while I'm creating,
just
and
just done.
Follow the directions. And also, I've made a lot of great patterns from other people, and there's so many patterns out there, and it's super refreshing for me. I feel like when I'm not in a deadline period, to sew somebody else's quilt.
Yeah.
I like
it's
that.
It's really refreshing.
Yeah.
And you like appreciate. It's so nice because you're like, oh, I appreciate their pattern and their work. And
right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I, in the near future, I think Blockheads kind of gives me that kind of fun too. Yeah. But in the near future, I'm going to be working on a Lisa Alexander quilt that she's doing a sew-along for. I'm super excited because I'm going to do it scrappy from my stash.
Yeah.
And then I also have a fig tree quilt that I made the sample for Joanna more than 10 years ago, I'm guessing. And I recently saw that quilt came up somewhere, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to make that again in our fabrics.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and that's fun.
I made the sample for her. I don't have that quilt anymore because she had it.
Yeah, she needed the sample.
And I'm like, you know what? I have that pattern, and it'd be super fun to make it in our next fabric collection. Yeah. So stay tuned.
You look back and you think, oh, I have my own fabric now.
Yes, I want to make this in our fabric. Yes.
Just one more thing, because she had a lot of great thoughts. I do still sometimes, because not only the quilt deadlines, but we have these patterns, we are turning that information in months in advance.
Yes.
It is not like a last minute thing. It is, and we have some deadlines coming up, and I'm already thinking, okay, 3 weeks till I have this.
Right.
And that you're turning in so early.
Yeah.
So there's that too.
Yes. We're designing quilts now for our July collection release. Yeah. And those patterns for me are going to be finalized this week.
Yeah.
So
not mine.
3 months ahead, you know.
I've seen mom's quilts and they're super cute. I haven't designed anything. I'm just like rolling along. Oh,
I have one more to design.
Oh
so.
My goodness, you're amazing. No. That's not me.
But yeah.
I'll add just my two cents to that at the end as well. She said your job sounds hard to me. And, you know, you said you guys have already explained what your feelings on that. But I would say that you do have to work hard in order for your jobs to be successful.
Yeah.
So whether or not you feel it's hard or not, but there's still hard work that has to be done in order for you guys to be successful.
I think that's a really good way to put it.
I appreciate that.
A lot of work, and some of it is hard.
Yeah.
But I don't.
But if you still like it, then sometimes it doesn't feel like it's as hard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The next one here, and maybe this would be better for Val or Marion. She said, I never get tired of watching or listening to you. Your family dynamics are wonderful. I've been doing some free motion quilting on a baby quilt, and I start hurting after an hour and a half. So my question is how to mitigate the sore shoulders and neck when sewing for a few hours. I know both of you do a lot of sewing with new fabric line when a new fabric line comes out, and wonder how you don't hurt yourself. And I mean, I guess, you know, just being at the sewing machine, there might be some things that come from that as well. But do you have any suggestions for things that have helped you guys?
Yeah, I actually have a few. For one thing, in my Patreon group, we actually have a member, and I actually have known her since either middle school or high school. But she's a physical therapist, and she's been doing a little 10-minute segment every other month in our Patreon group with like little exercises. And she's talked a lot about this, how in our group, and her name is Michael Ann Child, just in case she's listening. Everyone in our group has really loved her input. And she'll talk about how, you need to get up and stretch. You need to, and she kind of like demonstrates how you can just like stretch your arms up and move and do some like really simple things.
Okay, girls, let's go.
Yes. She's also talked about having something for your feet to rest on when you're sitting at a desk for long periods.
You're supposed to. Super My husband helpful. Just said he needs one, like something.
Yes. And she just told us, hey, they're on Amazon. You can find them pretty much wherever, or you can make your own. But another thing this is going to sound really crazy, but I've actually been doing these simple strength training program, and it has, I mean, I'm not getting buff. I'm not.
She has been. My brother came down and they were like talking about exercises and I was like eating pasta looking at them like, what are you guys doing?
But I have noticed that I have less soreness and more, you know, even if I'm reaching up to get something off a shelf, I'm like reaching and I have no pain in my shoulders.
And you hurt your shoulder like within the past few years too.
Yeah,
so
I
that's
had that,
surprising.
That frozen that, like, shoulder a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I really think that you should, you know, of course, you don't want to do anything without advice from your doctor. That's a medical, you know.
Let's state that right now.
Yes.
Talk to your
this is
your,
not medical advice.
Your physician. Don't listen to.
Yeah. Consider simple exercises and also moving around regularly while you're working.
Good. So, Marion, it's okay that we walk around our houses for a little while and take a break.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I guess when I said Marion and Val, because she mentioned the free motion quilting.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
right.
Posture has a lot to do with. You know, either that you're sitting at a desk or sitting at the sewing machine.
Yes.
I mean, and it's hard. It's hard to maintain it for hours at a time and everything. But I would fully back what you said, Mom, with stretching, you know, light resistance training and everything like that. I mean, yeah, we're not giving you a program or anything like that.
Right.
But we're just saying, like, you know, that those are things that you
the
can definitely
Sherry and Chelsea.
look into and they will definitely have benefits.
Yes. The other thing I've been loving, it's going to come to an end soon because of our weather, but I really like to take a 2-mile walk every day. And because our weather has been so nice, I've been actually doing it midday because it, you know, it's
been great.
In the 60s to 70s midday, but I know summer's coming and I'll have to do it early morning or late at night. But I feel like it's really made me more productive to come back to my desk or my sewing machine after I've taken that walk.
Yeah.
And kind of moved around a bit. So.
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that question. Next one here. Okay, here we go. I really enjoy your podcast and look forward to each new episode. Your uplifting and informative conversations make my commutes enjoyable. My question for you today is about borders. Sometimes it happens that I'd like a quilt to be bigger than the size listed in the pattern. I want to add inches to the size, but don't want to simply add stripes of fabric. What type of borders do you like to make? What border designs do you recommend for quilters to increase the size of their quilts? The border I made recently was with piano keys, but I'd like to be more creative about this in the future. And that is from Sandy.
This is such perfect timing because Val, who does a lot of our quilting, she just took one of my 80x80 patterns, the Lily quilt, and she's going to be teaching a class on it this summer at the Christmas Goose, I believe. And so she's making the sample for herself, but she wanted it king sized.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, I said, what did you do? How did you increase it? And so she did. She took the small inner border that I can't even remember might have been 2.5 inches. I can't remember. But anyway, she extended that size and then she added
more borders.
Another border that was large. And I think she even did a 6 or 7 inch border for that outer border. But, you know, that from an 80x80... just the 6-inch border that took it up to 92, and then she increased
added,
the size of the inner, the white border too. So I think really you don't need to keep adding, you know, 25 more borders.
No, you
just
can make them larger.
Increase the ones that are already there and then maybe add one more.
Yeah,
is what I would suggest.
Yeah, I like that. Was going to be my suggestion as well, is just increase the size of them.
Right. So like I'm just looking at the quilt on the wall. Chelsea actually has a fairly large white border surrounding this. So that could be increased.
You could increase sashing sizes too.
You could increase sashing also, yeah. And then her outer border could be doubled or even tripled.
Oh, yeah.
If you increase
that. And it would be
that.
So pretty.
Right. So, yeah, super. I don't know how big this is. It's looking like 70-something.
75 by 75.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you could actually do a whole nother row or two of blocks too. So, but I feel like
that was going to be my advice. I think that's the perfect way to do it. And it doesn't look weird. It actually looks good. When you add larger borders, it's still, there's nothing off about it. It looks good, especially with a quilt like yours, especially with an 80x80. you could make those borders pretty large.
Because the blocks are big.
The blocks are so big. Yes. So it doesn't look like off.
Right.
I think I'm going to save that last one for a future. Or do you guys want to... let's answer right now.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it. I thought it was a fun question.
Okay. Yeah, because I had more to add to it. But let's do it. Okay. So last one today. I was just wondering if you guys have ever considered getting a long arm. Since you live so close together, you could share one and expand your skills in that direction. I know you have some long armors that you really like and they do great work, but it's kind of fun to try something new and complete a quilt from start to finish. Love your podcast. And that's from Diane.
I want to hear what you think about this.
Okay. So here's the deal. We have totally thought about getting a long arm. At first, it was when I went to Quilt Market, I was going to long arm. And we've thought about that even for Isabel. And I am not opposed to getting a long arm at all. I just know right now with where I'm at with my workload, it's the time.
Right.
And I just don't think, but I know Mom gets so excited about this.
I've actually thought about this pretty seriously recently. Actually, a week ago from when we're taping this, Billy had a lot of furniture here at our home that I think has been here since 2020.
He got a new apartment because he's getting married.
Right. And so now he was ready to take this furniture back. And so I was like, oh, I could put a long arm here, or because, you know, we took a lot out. We a coffee table, two bookcases, two couches, a desk, a dresser. So anyway, I keep thinking that bedroom over there.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, do I need this bed? Like, could I just put a long arm in here? And
this is where we get dad involved.
You know,
dad's going to be the long armor.
So, I think, and I've also watched she mentioned. We have Marion and Val that do so much of our quilting and we love them. And we also have a couple of local ladies, Vicky and Gail, that do stuff when.
Yeah.
And I was just at Gail's recently and she got a computer added to her Gamel.
I'm so excited for her.
And it was fun for her to show me how she's, you know, there's a learning curve. Yeah. She's been doing the laser guided for years. Decades, but now she has a computer and as she was showing me some things, I was thinking, wow, I wonder if I could do that too, you know?
I just feel like I do want to know quilting is not, you jump in and you're a long arm quilt. It is a lot of work and the knowledge that these women have and men, whoever is long arming, they're very good at what they do. And it would be a learning curve.
Definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts, Billy?
Billy's just because you sort of mentioned already. I mean, I plan on going to Quilt Market this upcoming fall and hopefully bringing Isabel with us. And
I know. I want Isabel to go and play around with a machine.
Yeah. So I was just basically going to say, I mean, me and Isabel have talked about maybe getting involved in that in the future as well. And obviously we'd have to get a space to have it and everything, but it's something we're interested in as well.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll happen someday.
I love that question. This was a fun episode.
This was a really fun episode.
I love the listener question episodes. It always makes us think.
It's more personal.
A new perspective, more personal.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Some ones are geared specifically to you guys and thank you for, like I said, I didn't get to all of them that have been sent through the beginning of April, but
we will.
Yep. We will.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's a couple that we're going to help us with just topics for the podcast so that we can talk even longer about. Just in closing, I'll read one of our new reviews that we got from Apple Podcasts. We do that for these episodes as well. And it is titled, "Easily My Favorite Podcast. This slice of the crafting world has brought me so much joy after coming back to quilting after some years of hiatus while my son was young. Sherry, Chelsea, and Billy make for a wholesome, knowledgeable, enlightening, and funny trio, relating the ins and outs and in-betweens of the quilting world and its many connections and techniques, and sometimes golf, and adored." So thank you very much. I'm not sure actually what the person who left this, their name was, but thank you for that review.
Thank you.
If you do listen on a podcast app, you can leave, or on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review on there and give us a rating. That helps as well.
Yeah, thank you. That was so kind. I love that. And yes, like Billy says, the more reviews podcasts get, the more they are shared with other people who might find that interesting. So we would really love.
We always read those to make sure.
Yes. So thank you. And
okay. So our next podcast episode is going to be airing Monday, May 13th. Billy will be married by then.
Yes.
Woo! And just, we really appreciate all the questions, and we will get to all of them over time in these future episodes, or use them as topics as well.
Thanks so much for stopping by.